Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Honorable Discharge is brought to you by Dysfunctional Veterans Radio. Find Dysfunctional Veterans Radio on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Stream more slutty dysfunctional veteran content by heading down to www.patreon.com/DV Radio. That's www.patreon.com/DV Radio. Subscribe and get access to all the media and entertainment made for veterans by veterans. You can also download DV podcasts from Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes. Help DV mission by donating to the DV Farm at www.dvfarm.org. That's www.dvfarm.org. If you want to donate to DV Farm as your charity of choice, you can do that through www.smile.amazon.com. Select the DV Farm as your charity of choice, and a portion of your sale directly benefit our fellow veterans that need a hand up. 3, 2, 1. Oh my. Hello, everyone. Yeah. Ooh. Guys make me purr. I'm like a cross between a cat and a Wookiee. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for checking us out today. This is your favorite podcast, my favorite podcast, Honorable Discharge. I'm your man, Ron Ripley. We're coming to you live in San Diego, California from Studio 395. This is Dysfunctional Veterans Radio's sexiest show, in my opinion. And today is going to be a flagship episode. It's going to be the introduction. You guys know him. You love him. He's our new co-host here on Honorable Discharge. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. T.D. Cunningham.
Hello. Thank you.
Look at him.
Seriously,
He looks so proud.
That means so much
out here to
me.
You look good.
I feel good.
Yeah? All right. Shut up. Shut up, everyone. You're making him horny. Quit it.
Well, I'm always horny.
Welcome to the show. You are the new co-host of Honorable Discharge. And so now it's Ron Ripley and T.D. Cunningham.
Dude, I'm telling you, I am honored to be the host of Honorably Discharged.
You look honored. You look sweaty.
I'm always sweaty. I'm a sweaty man.
Well, that's part of the gig, man. In case you don't remember, the man, T.D. Cunningham, is an active duty Marine, 15 years. He's got 5 years left. I am an Air Force veteran. I was in for 5 years. I've been out for 15. We're like polar opposites. I'm an eerie look into his future. He's a beautiful look into my past. And together we're gonna wreck your earlobes and lick your lungs.
I think honestly, I think that it's like a perfect match because we're almost the same age. I think, what are you, 37?
Oh, just turned 38.
Yeah, man.
I turned
38 in a few weeks.
It's like a slutty age. It's good.
It's just how that's actually a part of the show that we're putting together with Vet TV has that same idea of people that are around the same thing, but they're in different
places. They
don't know this.
They don't know. God, there's so much catch up. For you guys don't know, T.D. was just on deployment, and I hit him up, and I was like, "Hey, I think I'd love to have you be a co-host." And he's like, "Yeah, all right. Well, I'm out of CONUS for a little while, so and then we came back today. We just spent like 2 hours kind of shooting a promotional video that's like starting out our venture together, I suppose. And that was a lot of fun, but and it really is. I couldn't agree more. It's a lovely little marriage." Between Air Force and Marines.
Yeah.
Well, part of the reason why I really enjoyed the idea of bringing you on was the combination of our military service, the combination of our comedy careers in and around San Diego, the fact that there's desires for veteran content out there, which is just a fun kind of thing to bring to the case. But we both have very different perspectives, and I think that's what makes the show fun. In that, while you're active duty and you got to be, you know, you got to be G.I. Joe still, I get to be fucking pretty much like you're Thor. You're Thor in like the first movies. I'm Thor in Endgame when he's like the Lebowski Thor, just like everything is lost.
People say that, but honestly, the slack you have to pick up as a veteran. So when you're out in the world, like I'm in right now, so I can snap on my neighbors and scream, and I can, and everyone's like, oh, he's just. I don't have to present the best foot forward that veterans who served, because everyone knows you served, any neighborhood, any community you live in,
right?
They all know, like, oh,
usually you're living around people that have also, like, you know,
you don't have the luxury to just disappear for 3 months, or you got to stick it out with your family. You can't be like, oh, sweetie, I'd love to carry this conversation, but government says I got to go to Hawaii for 3 weeks.
Do some stuff,
you know,
hit
like
the par threes, you know what I'm talking about?
It's we've get a lot of. Thank you for your service. Thank you. But anyone who's been in knows a vast majority of that is kind of a free ride. And we're putting in, and I don't say this as like an ammo tech. I'm a recon Marine, man. Like I've been.
That's why I like you.
And I do a lot of the type of service that people often lie about doing. That's the type of stuff that I'm in. And
I just want to go out like I was a space shuttle door gunner. I'm a really good space shuttle door gunner.
Yeah.
I'm so good at it.
When I think about it, I see the people living in the world, and it's like you have a much bigger stake in it. Like you have a much bigger responsibility to be like, hey, you know what? I am holding down a job. I am doing the right thing. I'm paying my taxes. I'm not screaming at my son because he striked out at Little League. I'm not snapping in the grocery store. Like, the things that everyone thinks a veteran is going to do, the things that everyone just expects us to fucking lose our shit over, because a lot of people
look
at service.
For me, it's traffic.
Yeah,
I
me too.
Fucking freak out in traffic. Fuck all of you on the road. Fuck you. Do you not know what a turn signal is? Fuck you.
Dude, good idea moving to San Diego because you can't deal with traffic well.
Assholes.
You know, I don't like the cold, so I was thinking Alaska.
Well, the thing is you know, like, you're at 15, you got 5 left, and I've been out for 15, and by the time you're out, I've been out for 20 years, and the thing is like, for me, when I got out, my journey, it was different. It was, you know, it's like I left Hawaii after tours in Iraq, and then, you know, I moved to upstate New York with, you know, my now ex-wife.
What part?
The Adirondack region, Glens Falls, north of Albany.
Albany, dude. I'm from Albany.
Oh, Glens Falls.
Yeah, right.
Saratoga.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Saratoga.
Wilton.
Yeah, dude.
Wilton ass hillbilly.
Fuck you, East Coast Wilton ass motherfuckers. But no, so I moved there, and then I got divorced, and then, you know, I moved to California, and then when I got to California, I moved to Mammoth, and I lived like up in the mountains and like learned to snowboard, and then I started engaging education. And so, like, once I got out, there was a legitimate 7-year period where I was like, I don't know who the fuck I am if I'm not polishing my boots and getting ready for push-ups at 5 a.m. And then you figure out that, like, you have this freedom. There's an overwhelming sense of it. And then your life is just on this chaotic spiral. And you really have no kind of, you know, it's free fall.
Yeah.
And it's not something that you're used to. And now, whereas you and I are now like the same, and you're an established family man. You're a respectable human being. You've got this job. You've got a beautiful family, living in a nice place. So for you, it's, I mean, I hope you don't like get out and get divorced and move to
absolutely
Saratoga.
Not. No.
You know, but once you get out, there will be that whole like, oh my God, fuck my neighbors, fuck this, fuck that. Can I sleep in till 9:30? 9:30? You mean? You know?
See,
like,
it's crazy.
There'll be a lot of that, and you have yet to even hit it.
It's crazy you say that too, because and I can feel it when I talk to you about the self disparaging stuff about like, oh, only Air Force, but dude, you were in combat, and like a lot of people I know.
To be clear, I mean, you know, I don't have any kicking in door stories.
No, no,
or
that's
anything,
that,
you know,
dude. That a lot of people that I know who were Coast Guard or National Guard or Air Force, they always seem to be apologetic about their service. But you know what happens is a lot of the times those guys in those units or those women, those people in those units, someone says, hey, you're Air Force, and we just got slated for a pump to Afghanistan or Iraq, so strap the fuck in for the next 19 months because training's going to be, like, really hard because they think we're soft and I think we're soft and we're going to make sure that no one in this deployment is... And, like, sometimes your training regimen for things at that level are... I mean, and it sucks that you guys go through this, you do what you serve, you put in your time, and then you pop out, and you're like, oh, I was just whatever because, you know, I wasn't kicking in doors. And I remember
when I was on job sites and stuff, because I got out, and I immediately went to carpentry. I was like, you know, I was a civil engineer in the Air Force, so I'll go and I will build shit. And then I got out, and literally... I figured out immediately the language is different. I couldn't ask somebody for, you know, I think in the civilian world, it was asking somebody for a rack of pins is asking you for a sleeve of nails that slides in your nail gun. Hey, man, throw me a rack of pins, will you? Cool. In the military, it's just, you know, throw me a reload of nails or something like that. And it's like I do this job, but I literally have to relearn this career field all over again because there's just these little... idiosyncrasies that just don't sync up, and that was all of my stories. You know, you go to lunch and they're like, oh yeah, you were in Iraq, and you're like, yeah, and like then you realize all of my stories start with, hey, that one time when I was in Iraq. You know, you're like that fucking bitch from American Pie. This one time at band camp, this one time when I was in the military, this one time when I was in Iraq. It's the same shit. And then, like, again, like, eventually, T. Cunningham, will have to be faced with this, like...
Well, that's...
that whole, like...
And the thing that I'm focusing on with that is, honestly, why I started comedy. So, I mean, when my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and that's kind of what put me... We got... the night we got married... It was in a courthouse, and...
By the way, that's not a shocker, okay? If you listen to the fucking episodes, you knew that. So don't sit there and be like, what? What? You fucking knew, because you guys are fans, and you guys subscribe. Go on.
So the night I got married, my wife and I it was a courthouse wedding, because we were going to have a real wedding in a few months. When I got back from... I had been passed at assessment and selection for Marine Special Operations Battalion. So I was going to be... I was heading out to North Carolina to finish up the 6-month training to become Special Operations for the Marines. And so the night we got married, it wasn't really a big deal to me. Like, the day it was, but then I went and did open mic comedy at the store, actually, in La Jolla, a comedy store. And then I went to North Carolina. I got honestly a drinking related incident, and that's how everything kind of. So now I'm getting banished to Okinawa, back to 3rd Recon Battalion, and it's like I'm gonna pay my dues. And my wife didn't get the wedding; she didn't. So I had kind of dipped my toe into comedy, and it was something I had that I was like, I was good at it, but I wasn't. Good at it. Like, anyone else would have seen me and been like, he's not good at this. But I realized in relation to the people at the time, because I've talked to a lot of people.
Oh, I could grow from here.
Yeah, I was like, you've been doing it for how many years? And I've been doing this for 3 weeks. Times, and I'm all right. Yeah. So I was able to gauge things, and then I had this fallback for years. It was almost six years. And then I came back to America when my wife got diagnosed with cancer. We were going to stay in Okinawa, and I was going to get out. I was going to put in for the CIA or law school, and whichever one took me is where I was going to go.
Badassery.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
I
got a little...
No, that's cool.
It goes with your story.
So, then it came back to... The cancer kind of derailed this man, and then my whole life turned into that. Into her and
cancer
my family,
town.
And then eventually...
Right, I don't think the music's good for the...
Then eventually I got back into comedy, and it became this idea because I had a taste of what the world's going to look like when I get out, because for about 18 months there was no military. It was just my family.
Right.
It was just like... And I lost my fucking mind. While I was active duty with my wife and my kid, taking care of like this, it's just like... the loss of structure that came, and it was a shock. It came immediately. It was just hard to deal with. So
that is why you're here with me today, because I am the loss of structure. Dude, I am your chaos.
I feel like comedy, because everyone was telling me it takes 5-10 years, and I was like, well, I got 6 years before I get out, 7 years before I get out, so let's start grinding.
That's a good, like, long play. And you think about, like, and again, I think I've
said it's always a long play.
I'm sure I've said this before on the podcast. If you look at anything that's got any kind of skill attached to it, it takes decades. You know, like Norm Abrams, yeah, master carpenter and woodworker. You can't get there unless you've been doing it for 30 fucking years.
But Norm got paid in his first 5 years.
Dave Chappelle, master comedian, would you say? Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
Master comedian?
GOAT, greatest of all time.
How long
has
he been doing it?
Since 25, 30
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's 3 fucking decades.
But you know, when did Bill he start Burr? Getting paid? I mean, he was on Robin Hood Men in Tights 2 years into his career.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's great. And he was still like, you know, Blinken was fucking, hey, yeah. Blinken.
Yeah.
that was a funny bit. And that was, you know, Mel Brooks.
All I'm saying is with that is a lot of people say, all right, to get to Dave Chappelle, it took 30 years, but then they don't. Like,
yeah,
there
but you
is,
look at his career and
yourself.
It's like, dude, there's so much cool shit along
yeah,
the way. So
that's
it's not
what
like
I'm
it's
saying.
Not like a 30-year
always get
black
in there.
Hole.
Exactly.
You know, it's
some
like,
people
exactly.
think that.
But I mean, they say it takes 7 years to find your voice. I would agree with that. Like, I don't think that's unfair.
I don't know.
You know, I've been at it for 4 years and I'm like, all right, I'm still figuring out, like, do I want to be the military comedian? Do I want to be the guy who does wife and relationship material? Do I want to be, you know, like, am I iconic enough to just sit out there and riff on whatever the fuck is on my mind and have it be as transcendent as some other comedians can? Like, no. That's why, like, when you were asking me, you're like, you don't like acknowledging your talent or where you're at. And I'm a little bit humble in that. And it's like, I just don't like saying I'm better than anybody. I don't like saying, you know, like, my journey. You know, it may take me 20 years to achieve the same success that it took somebody to reach in 10 years. Do I want to waste my time hating on them for making it half the time? Yeah, I'd probably waste about a week or two of my life going,
yeah,
fuck that motherfucker. But ultimately, no. You know, you got to move on. And you are doing you. You know, if you're going to sit there and compare yourself to other people, you're going to lose track of you.
Well, with me, I don't look at them. When I see people get success that is kind of odd to me, I don't look at it like I hate them. I'm often in awe of it. I'm like, yo, did you hear the shit that so-and-so got? Because I loved gossip. I'm a gossip queen.
Yeah.
I fucking love that shit. However, I don't look at it from an evil place. I look at it
you're
like...
just like talking about what's all, going on.
I mean, everyone gossips. The news
sure.
is gossip. It's just like, did you hear what Iran did today? Oh, no, she didn't. Like, yeah, it's all a bunch of bullshit
did
gossip.
See that new Amy Schumer special?
Yeah,
oh, my
it's,
God.
The whole thing of the human race is talking shit about other parts of the human race or going to sleep or eating and shitting. Like, and now we have an iPhone, so you can shit and talk shit. It's... it's
I got to give up social media, man. Like, I feel like there's got to be something else to do while you're pooping.
The problem, dude, what kills me about social media is, like, I gave it up for years, and then I couldn't – you literally can't do – I remember the first 4 months of comedy, I was like, yeah, I don't do social media. And they were like, you have to. I was like, I'm not – all you have to do in comedy is be funny. That's it. And they were like, okay, good luck with that. And then I couldn't get a fucking booking. And I started social media 3 weeks later, first booking, and it took off from there, dude.
It's not just social media. It's like, you know, fortune favors the bold, squeaky wheel gets the grease, mm-hmm, all these fucking, you know, metaphors. You do, like, I've heard people bitching, you know, at the store, like, I can't get booked. Fucking ask people.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know unless you go out there. I still get rejected by people. Like, I get rejected. I got rejected by people that I, you know, like, I've been my entire comedy career, you know. And I was like, hey, man, you know, your shows are doing well. I'd like to be part of one. And they're like, man, we'll keep you in mind.
Yeah,
dude, and it's like, all right, well, fuck you, dude.
Almost every booking I've ever gotten, to a T, almost every single one came from me asking. That whole shit where I ask someone, I reach out to some of my friends. I was talking to someone actually the other day at ACC, and I was like, why aren't you booking more? And they were like, well, you know, no one's booking me. I'm like, are you
asking?
And they're like, no, I don't. My code is, I don't. I think
you know,
it's bullshit.
Fuck your code,
like,
but
you fucking,
I will.
You're not gonna get. There's a thousand of us.
I will acknowledge the fact because I just got booked on a show by a guy that like I've been off his radar for fucking years, and I've given him free drinks at fucking music festivals and things like that. Yeah. I'm like, hey man, comedians drink free at my bar. And they're like, oh sweet, thanks. What's your name? I'm like, hey, Ron Ripley, and they're like, cool. And then you go and you see him at the club a week later outside of that music festival. And they have no fucking idea who you are. They can't even tell you your name. And it's like, dude, I've given you hundreds of dollars worth of free alcohol at music festivals just as favors. And it's not because, you know, like, I don't want to suck your dick or anything like that. Blah, 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 blah. But eventually, you know,
I've got goals.
I finally did do enough sets. And, you know, this fucker came up to me and was like, hey, man, you know, hit me up. I'll put you on a show. And so then I'm booked on a show.
But I'll tell you.
So I'm like, finally, I got your fucking attention.
But
so
I'll tell you what.
So there is that nice idea, like, I like to be asked.
But I'll tell you.
You gotta be worth it.
I'll tell you what, man. There's no way he came to you just because your sets have gotten to a place they've gotten. He came to you because your sets got to a place where they've gotten, where people are talking about you, and... Oh yeah, when he heard that name, he was like, "I know that motherfucker."
Finally,
he got
well,
me a bunch of fucking
drinks.
Like, and
it's
sometimes,
a mix, man. And that's therein is the lesson. Sometimes it takes years of being the better man to finally get on somebody's radar, and ultimately, it's not because they're you know like this guy didn't fucking be, was like, "Wow, he's a great comedian. I think he deserves a shot." He'd be good on a lineup. I think I can put him between X, Y, and Z.
It's never,
and that's great. I just want to work. I don't care. Like I'm, you know, like I just want to fucking work.
Yeah, man.
And that's like I can't do. Like I'm almost at the point where it's like I'm giving up on mics. You know, like I like the idea, you know, but like for 3 minutes, I'll work out like two jokes that are like what tweets. And stuff like that. It's like, or I can work out one joke that I've been working on that's, you know, X, Y, and Z. And that's kind of how I came up with some new material. So, like, it's not like open mics are worthless, but by any means, I love open mics.
No, guy, open mics
are never
worthless.
You always have to, like, work on your
shit. Every town you move to, you got to.
But at the same time, it's like for 3 minutes to be sitting around one club for two fucking hours listening to all the same blah, blah, blah drama from last week and then go to another club and hear the same people talking about the same shit. They were talking about the same club.
You know where open mics aren't worthless is – open mic is worthless.
Calling them worthless, that was
inappropriate. No.
That was incorrect. Well, I misspoke.
When an open mic is worthless is when you're in your hometown. It's like, how many times do I got to go to fucking Chuck E. Cheese and, you know, do a clean separate? But if you're in, like, Hawaii, I was telling you about this earlier.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
Mic,
yeah, yeah.
So
it's
I had navigated the open mic scene for the past fucking 2 years in San Diego, a little bit of L.A., but mostly San Diego. Navigated the scene, roll up to Hawaii. I'm like, hey, can you guys put me on a show? And they're like, we don't know you, and it's Maui, so we get people here all the time. So we've been burned a bunch. Here's
that's like
an open
whenever
mic.
I go to New York.
Yeah, they're like, here's an open mic, and I promise you I'll be there to watch you. I went, did the open mic. They did 7-minute open mics. I fucking did well, I thought, and then boom, several shows line up, and they were like, hey, great job. Hey, can you come do this show?
Yeah, and then you're like, I'm out of here next
that
week.
That would have no. They put me, I got to do all the shows, and then I did them all, and then bounced. I told them when I'm there.
Well, that happened to me in Denver, man. I got put up on a show because I showed up to a mic. This guy bumped me to the last.
Exactly.
He looked me up on Facebook and was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry. He literally came over and apologized. It's the first time this has ever happened. I was like, what the fuck is happening right now? And he's like, yeah, man, you can absolutely go up next if you want, have as much time as you want. And then would you like to work on a show that, you know, are you going to be in town like in you know,
exactly.
I'm like, yeah, man, that's cool.
You got and if you didn't
stuff
know
stuff like that when it happens, it's totally.
But if you didn't know how to navigate the open mic scene, if you didn't understand open mic, you were kind of like, yo, fuck this. I haven't done mics in 2 years. I'm above mics. You rolled into Colorado like that. I know people. I'm not saying but
no,
I know people that do that. If you had done that, you would have gotten fucked, but you rolled in there and you knew to be humble.
The only reason I'll probably
and that's why you book some shows in a new town.
The only reason I'll probably get booked on a show the next time I go to New York City is because I've been going there like once, sometimes twice a year for like 2 or 3 years, and I've been making connections and doing mics and being like, hey, you know, like, and now I know them and on social media.
When you
going
to New York next?
Fucking no. I'm doing school. Like I said, school's my next focus for the next like 8 months. Oh my god, that fucking sucks. But then I graduate.
Do you have a place to stay in New York City? We can crash at my brother's house, man.
Let's do that.
Yeah, you and I will go there, hit the city, and then we'll line it up for like 2-3 weeks, So
New York's cool. Like I said, I go to New York whenever I can for the past couple of years since I've been doing comedy. Denver, I just started Denver and Colorado Springs. I want to reach out into Seattle. My brother lives in Seattle. My brother might have comedians crashing on his floor. His woman will be happier about it than he will be.
The beautiful thing about all those places you mentioned is I have a few people who live in every single town we can crash at.
Hopefully where listeners of Honorable Discharge are, and it sucks because I got to wrap it up, but speaking of the store and comedy and shit, that's
exactly shit. What time is it?
It's about, it's about that time.
How much time we got?
The time is now.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah. The time is now. But, I mean, anything you want to wrap up on your inaugural episode of...
Honestly, I just wanted to say thank you for the opportunity for welcoming me.
Dick. We're not going to do that on air.
Really, seriously, I'm seriously excited about being a part of this project. And I know... we're going to take on the workload together and we're going to fucking bring this to places that it deserves to be.
Sucks so much.
And dude, we are going to suck penises.
This is hard. I got to drag the cock sucking out of you. Like this is
I'm seriously excited for this and it means a lot to me that we're going to be working together and I've got
if we're a movie duo, it's like I'm the dude and you're Donnie.
Yeah. No. No, I'd be Walter. I'm definitely Walter. I'm toning it down right now because we got microphones.
Yeah, on. No, you could be Walter and I could be the dude. But yeah, I'm like the dude if the dude was a veteran.
No, everyone's told me I'm Walter. I know people who've seen that movie Walter one time and been like,
I should totally be Walter. I'm way fatter than you.
Yeah, but I mean,
you guys, I'm gonna call it.
Yeah.
I have to.
Thanks, man.
I'm your man, Ron Ridley. This is TD Cunningham. This is the Honorable Discharge with Ron Ridley.
Who's our next guest?
TD Cunningham. Next guest is gonna be Eric Knowles.
Eric, we'll see you.
He's a Marine. Again, I gotta sit down with all you fucking globeheads,
fucking jugheads, man. And Eric, we'll see you in a bit.
Yeah, that's it. That's the show. And this is our house band. That's very real. And you guys have been amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you
for showing up to the gig. You guys are great. Slutty people.